Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is April 5th, 2021. This is the go-home show for Mania, and this is the Fightful post-show for that Raw event. This does not feel like WrestleMania, but you know what? Here we are. We're joined by Denise Salcedo, and right out of the gate, you guys know I'm going to tell you, thumbs up, subscribe, notifications, send in those super chats. And Ricardo Holt does it. He says, congrats to Denise. Get that cheddar.
What cheddar?
I think he means cheese. Definitely not the cheddar that I'm being sent by Peacock.
Oh, I was like, wait, what cheddar? I was like, wait, congrats for what? I don't even know what I'm being congratulated for anymore. There's been so much going on.
Jesus Christ, Denise.
Sorry, Sean. I'm off my game today. I'm falling apart.
I think they were congratulating you for your raise and for the fact that you'll be doing more stuff for Fightful. For those of you who don't,
Sean.
For those of you who don't know, Denise will be doing our NXT Takeover post shows from now on. Not Wednesday, but she will be starting this Thursday. She'll be doing WWE pay-per-view post shows with me. Denise has actually never done a pay-per-view post show with me. So
you want to tell the people why, Sean? You want to tell the people why? The real reason as to why?
Because you have a channel and...
No, prior to that, prior to me doing my pay-per-view post shows, never once, not once, did good old Sean Rossap invite me to be on a WWE pay-per-view post show.
Well, I used to try to have new people on there, but now what I do that on the prediction shows. We basically do a lot of like tryouts on those. We have a lot of people that are on there for the first time today. Not necessarily tryouts, but today we had Emily Heller on the NXT Takeover predictions. And how about this? Tuesday we got Steven Larson. They might get called up to the big leagues, Denise.
Is that developmental? Fightful developmental?
Yeah, that's it. Actually, I really wanted. Emily, because she's big on NXT, I had actually thought about, like she had mentioned to me, maybe she could do some NXT post shows sometimes. That might happen here and there. But right now, Alex Palowski will be doing solo NXT Sour Graps reviews. That was something I was very excited for as well. So you guys can check that out. But we're not even done talking about Denise's duties.
Oh, we're not?
No.
Oh, damn.
I already do post shows for the Impact Wrestling Big Four. But now you are going to be joining us on those, myself and Steven Jensen. And every month you're going to be doing post shows for the Impact special events.
Yeah, my stress levels have risen right about now. Like, I came in here and I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to breeze through this. And now, like, my stress levels have risen.
Well, I mean, you pitched that. I was like, you know what? Sure. If we make one penny off of Impact post shows, I'm like, yeah, you know what? We weren't doing them anyway. So
whatever. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So we'll treat the charity case, Denise.
Yeah, I am a charity case.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Norm Summers says, RIP Denise's bangs.
Oh, they're terrible. That's why I had to move my hair to the side. Like, I saw what I look like on screen, Sean, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to hop onto this channel like this.
Well, you know what's not terrible, Denise? We have launched Fightful Magazine. What the hell is this? Our graphics department did not give me a transparent image. Jimmy, you got to yell at him. Here I am. We launched Fightful Magazine. The first edition is now at FightfulMag.com. The first edition is a digital edition. It was sort of a proof of concept just to show that we could do it. It looks like $1 million. We have an archived interview with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Molly Bell's look at Charlotte Flair, Joe Hulbert takes a look at Bianca Belair and Edge. Alex Pawlowski returns to writing, covered a dream match, John Cena, Conor McGregor. I've got a piece in there as well. There's a look at how Jimmy acquired a very expensive LJN figure. There is so much cool stuff. We have Brandon Thurston as well, Taylor Hendricks, FightfulMag.com. Somebody asks if Melissa trolled me with this graphic. Somebody did, but let me tell you, Jimmy ain't going to be happy, and he knows it ain't my fault. And I'll be more than happy to watch that all unfold tomorrow.
Well, technically, Sean, shouldn't you test your graphics ahead of the stream?
Wouldn't have mattered. They sent it to me right as the office closed today. So,
but you Jimmy, can make a PNG graphic on your own.
Jimmy,
it takes 10 seconds, Sean.
No, I could not have made that. That does not take 10 seconds. No,
I'm just saying you could take the graphic and make it into a PNG, the graphic they already made.
Not me, buddy. That's not what I get paid for.
Wow. You see what I mean, Sean? This is why Denise Salcedo takes all the jobs. She's willing to go above and beyond. Had you told me, Denise, make this into a PNG, you would have had your PNG graphic.
Well, Denise, you know what? I've got a way for you to make more money. It's with our friends at WrestleRumble.com. They got the WrestleMania Pick'em over at WrestleRumble.com. Look at this. First place, $1,000. Second place, $100. Third place, $100. Make predictions on this weekend's WrestleMania and win real money. And that's not even it. NXT TakeOver, you can enter the Belt Bash, just $1. First place wins an NXT replica title. Second place, a North American title. Third place, you get the NXT tag titles. And then fourth and fifth place are mystery belts. In the past, those have been classic WWE tag team titles. Really cool looking belts. They're doing a live drawing on the Solo Monster Sounds Off podcast right after NXT TakeOver. WrestleRumble.com. They're doing all kinds of cool contests. I'm throwing that one back up there, though. But, I mean, there are so many great contests over there at any given time. They got the Stone Cold belt giveaway, the Legends of WrestleMania belt giveaway, where the first prize is that custom WrestleMania Moments belt. They got that one with Daniel Bryan holding up the title. They're making title belts for everything now. Second place is a Smoking Skull belt. Third place, that Brahma Bull belt that never got released. So much stuff at WrestleRumble.com. And if you think, oh, that couldn't happen to me. That couldn't happen to me. Hannah, one of our mods, won like 6 title belts from them. She was out there looking like Ultimo Dragon. It was ridiculous. Check out WrestleRumble.com. But we do have Raw to talk about. Guys, get in your super chats. Leave us thumbs up. I want 1 million thumbs ups on this show right now, Denise.
I hope so too. Fingers crossed. Let's get those 1 million thumbs up.
1 million. I feel like that's how I start every review, Denise.
It shouldn't be this way. This is our last Raw heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Don't you think you should be more pumped?
I should be more pumped, but this has been one of the worst WrestleMania builds I have ever seen in my entire life.
It feels weird too, and this is the reason why. It's not like we're necessarily heading into a WrestleMania that is going to be with a Thunderdome audience where it's going to be zero physical people. Like, this is supposed to be the big return, the big back in business. So I feel like we should definitely be a lot more hyped for this.
Havri Duncan says, good build for Battleground. Oh, wait, never mind. It's WrestleMania. That's how I feel right now. That's how I feel. And Colt Badeau says, will Sean and his new eyes watching WWE booking this week coexist? Barely. There were some good matches, like in-ring wrestling. There was some good wrestling, but there was very little on this show that I actually cared about, and this didn't do a whole lot to make me excited for WrestleMania. I'm not excited for WrestleMania for any story. I'm excited to see who reacts or what fans react to.
I think so too. Well, you know, here's the thing though, is that I feel like regardless, even though, because we've had so many like really lame storylines heading into so many different pay-per-views, but for the most part, I always feel like after a pay-per-view, I've enjoyed all the pay-per-views. Like there's probably been like a couple, you know, rare pay-per-views where I'll be like, oh, this pay-per-view was terrible or whatever, right? But for the most part, they've been good. So I have a strong feeling that coming out of both nights of WrestleMania that I'm going to be enjoying myself, that I'm going to say that it was a good show just because they already have that track record of having really solid pay-per-views. But it's just been the lead up to it has not necessarily been the greatest. And, you know, this was something that we've been talking about the past several weeks, how, you know, so many of these feuds don't really feel like they're super hot, like WrestleMania hot. And I just kind of figured, hey, with people, you know, there, it should feel a lot hotter.
JL says, happy WrestleMania week. Yeah, I mean, happy WrestleMania week.
Come on, Sean, put some emphasis into that.
Anakin says, get my first COVID shot tomorrow. I hope everyone that hasn't will be able to soon. I got my first one. Have you gotten yours yet, Denise?
Yeah, I got my first one the day of Quizlemania.
Oh, nice, nice.
And then I'm supposed to get the next one on the 21st.
Ah, that's around the same time of mine. Anakin says, congrats to Denise on the new gigs at Fightful. Get that money. Very proud to have Denise around more.
Finally. I'm just going to keep saying it all the time.
William Davis says, rebuilding my PC over watching Raw. Worked through SmackDown post-show in the Q&A. Here's hoping you guys bring it home. Been a long night. Reminder, guys, I do a Q&A on FightfulSelect.com every week. In addition to breaking news like today, I revealed what Matt Riddle was supposed to say when he forgot his promo.
What was he supposed to say? Or should I just wait?
That's okay. I'll give the viewers one. He was supposed to talk about Mount Fuji and underground fighting robots from Japan. But Vince loved what he did. Vince thought it was hilarious. So
it just worked out better that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nerd Guru's asking where your bangs are. They're there. She's got them hidden. I watched her do it. I watched the magic.
No, it's terrible. I wanted to cry like 2 seconds before we went on the air.
Oh, they look good. I complimented you on it.
Sean, no. Just no. Let's
Nerd
move on.
Nerd Guru says he had the whole third hour on mute. Must be a Monday. And Championship Wrestling says this didn't feel like a go-home show. It really didn't.
You know, it always blows my mind. Sorry, Shai, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it blows my mind how some people can watch Raw on mute. I can't do it.
I'd totally be able to do it. I didn't even realize Samoa Joe was there on commentary until Kyler messaged me and he's like, hey, man, you know what's weird? They taped these one day apart. Joe wasn't there last week. Now he is this week. I was like, yep. Man. Ricardo says, got a new job today. Well, congrats, man. Here's a couple bucks to make your jobs profitable this Mania weekend. Trust me, guys. Those will go a long way. Denise is taking us to the cleaners right now with all these jobs that she's getting. But I guess we got to talk about wrestling.
Let's do it. I'm ready. Come on.
Jesus Christ. This show...
What? Sean, you're going into this with no hope whatsoever.
I'm not excited. I know. This is the most creatively bankrupt era of WWE I've ever covered. And I get there's a lot of people that love that with our shows. If they're not watching the shows, but they watch our podcast, they're like, oh, cool. We get to listen to them tear into it. I will always love wrestling. And it's like, this is so much better than anything else I could be doing. But this is the most like just laziest creative I've ever seen over this past year. And they'll blame a bunch of shit. They'll blame, oh, well, COVID. Oh, well, there are no fans. I don't care. I don't care. I don't accept your excuses. You're being paid billions of dollars to put on good content. But I think at this point, they're being paid billions of dollars to just put on content, not even good content. Denise, you got nothing to lose. What do you think?
Well, damn, Sean. You know, how do I bounce back from that? Well, let me see. Look, I just kind of feel like, look, I have hope again, like I said, for the actual pay-per-views. However, I have to agree with you because I can't imagine someone disagreeing with what you said in terms of the creative not being there. The fact that literally every major feud has either A, had the participants have not necessarily been taken seriously. We can talk about this with Bianca. We could talk about this with Sasha, Asuka, Rhea Ripley, so many other people. They haven't necessarily had the proper build heading into this WrestleMania season. And then also, we can talk about like the fact that they're doing the exact same thing with everybody. And so you can't argue that. And it really bums me out because, again, it should be a big deal, but it doesn't feel like it. Like, we should not be on here right now sounding like we're recapping our visit to the dentist instead of Monday Night Raw, you know?
Brian F. says, AEW objectively better. JK, don't hurt me. No. I think subjectively it is. I would much rather be watching that. Hannah chimes in on Wrestle Rumble. Six title belts and $1,100 over the span of five contests. Go check out Wrestle Rumble. I legitimately play this game every single pay-per-view and takeover. Every
have
single one.
Have you won
of them.
Anything?
Yes, I have.
Oh, lucky.
Yes, I've placed multiple times. Sometimes your boy has the inside track. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Meanwhile, us peasants here are like trying to make scrape a buck here and there.
Ryan B. James says, as first reported by WWE, this Mania build has been terrible. Oh, God. And Rob Reed says, not sure what the worst part of that women's match was. The forced heel turn, Asuka losing again, or the fact they couldn't coexist. Let's jump right into that.
Oh,
Denise.
We're going right into that? Okay.
We're going right into that. Can they coexist? Shout out to WWE on Fox. They knew the drill. They knew what was up. Did you see that stuff?
I did see that. I did see that.
They know what's up.
Hey, might as well have fun with it.
Ripley is great as usual. Asuka's great as usual. Baszler as well. Big shocker, they couldn't coexist, Denise. And I had somebody say, oh, well, Asuka didn't look bad because her partner turned on her. No, she looked bad because she looked dumb. Because why would she put herself in a position to get stabbed in the back by a woman who hit her in the face with a table last week, Denise? So within this match, they had Rhea Ripley go, well, there's Reginald. I better go after him. This always ends up okay. And their way to build up a world title match is to have one person get pinned.
Yeah.
They didn't have to face Nia and Shayna. They could have faced somebody else.
You know what? I would even go as far as they didn't have to face anybody. And I'm just saying, I'm just picking that because this was just so not good and just done already too many times to the point where I'd rather see them cut promos on each other each and every single week than seeing this. And this, okay, so when they announced Asuka versus Rhea Ripley, I was so excited. I was like, okay, I don't care what they do. I'm excited. We're only a couple weeks away, so they can't really screw it up, right?
I told you the night they did it. I told you, Denise. I said, listen to me. I'm the optimistic one. You used to be the optimistic one. Now you're the pessimistic one, and I'm the optimistic one. And even I said, they're going to screw this up. They'll find a way to screw this up. They always find a way. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why WWE goes out of their way to make things as uninteresting as they possibly can. It's weird. Anakin says, why was it non-title? I don't know if they're going to retain anyway. I mean, they shouldn't have booked it. Who cares? Christopher Marino says, feels like making Ripley heel just to beat Asuka to lose to face Flair.
See, this is... Even, This is my issue with this is the fact that Rhea Ripley came off of this run from NXT, right? People were hyped for her for the most part. She had this amazing performance at the Royal Rumble. Bam, we get this dream matchup with her and Asuka. Now, answer me this, yes or no. Do you think that they have continued to keep Rhea Ripley in this hot new, I'm coming to get you and come to claim my spot on the roster? Have they done that with her?
No.
No, and that really makes me upset because it's Rhea Ripley, and I'm thinking, look at her. Look at the way she looks. It's very easy to look at her and say, okay, this girl, Asuka should be worried. Now, Asuka's run, unfortunately, has already been treated very poorly, so I wasn't expecting anything on that end. But just the way that things have gone down for Rhea Ripley in, like, literally in the span of a few Raws since this was announced has been very, very disappointing.
Paunch 30 says, I'm 100% feeling the way you guys do about this weekend. Yeah.
Wait, I'm still looking forward to the weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. I love my job, but I'm not excited about any story necessarily here. YouTube Championship Wrestling says, Raw Women's Division is worse than AEW's division. AEW is putting the pieces in place. They've got a lot of promising stuff, and AEW at least books things in a manner in which I have some confidence in how they'll do things in the future.
They're making changes, making progress, that's for sure.
Yeah. If you watch Dark or Elevation, you'll see those pieces sliding into place as well. Aiden O'Donnell says six sets of tag titles and none of the teams can coexist. Or they're challengers. And her guru says, they said coexist like 100 times. That'd be a rib on you, Sean. I can't get an answer from their PR. They're not going to take time to rib me. That's for sure.
I just don't get it. Why do they have to coexist, though? They're facing each other. Why would I want to coexist with my enemy, with my
competitor? You don't want to coexist with me, and I get you paid, Denise.
Do we really? I feel like we coexist. We have a mutual understanding.
We're really good about that, or we're really good at that. Flame Inc. says, stop pinning Asuka, for F's sake. I hate WWE. She is just a girl now who happens to have a title belt around her waist. And Ricardo Holt says to go home for Mania. I know. Let's pin Asuka. That'll get heat. What the fuh? I'm done. I'm sad. Me too.
Immediately following that Bobby Lashley match, because they really did right by him tonight. He was probably one of the few people that they did do right by. But why couldn't they do that? And I'm talking just right now on the Raw brand. Why couldn't they do that with Asuka or Rhea Ripley? Something similar to that. That's what we should have been seeing with Rhea Ripley. That killer, dominant. I mean, there are so many girls on that roster that would have not lost anything, essentially, by losing to Rhea Ripley, who's heading into this match. And also the fact that that Asuka and Rhea Ripley are, you know, going against each other at WrestleMania and one of the top build card matches on the card. And you're telling me that they're going to be struggling to defeat Nia and Shayna.
Ryan B. Jam puts you over for having 1,004 jobs. Zach Barber says the women on Raw deserve better. And please, for the love of God, get the tag title off of Nia. Pick any team and do something. I don't know why they keep revolving so much stuff around her. I don't understand it. Podcast Wiz 2010 says the whole WWE championship picture keeps giving me flashbacks to when these guys were in a team with Corbin. I read that one a little bit ahead of time, but I've got some strong feelings on that. I will definitely address that one later. Dom L says riots for tag champs. Well, they're in a tag team turmoil match this weekend because they announced that and the winners will go on a night two and face off against Nia and Shayna. There is no Mia Yim. There is no Chelsea Green. There is no Mickie James. There is no Bayley. There is no Charlotte. But you got Billie Kay and Carmella. You got Mandy and Dana. You got Lana and Naomi. You got Tamina and Natalya booked in there. Do you think we're going to end up seeing Charlotte and Bayley pop up in that match?
I mean, might as well, because here's the thing. And like, I get why they're doing the turmoil on night one. But when I think about the fact that the Fatal 4-Way for the SmackDown Champion Tag Team Championship bout is necessarily happening on SmackDown. It feels to me like that turmoil match could have happened tonight on Raw and then had their match at, you know, whatever night of WrestleMania. So it kind of feels to me like they didn't have to kick out that tag team, that Fatal 4-Way tag team match in order to place a turmoil match. But I get why they did it. I get why they did it. It just kind of, it kind of lessens the bouts to me, kind of lessens the match to me when it's not on WrestleMania for the SmackDown tag team title. So that's where, for me, I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Norm says, I missed the first half of Raw, or did I? Let you guys have some Kiss My Grits money. OFE bangs. We appreciate you. Colt Bedeau says, I'm more excited for TakeOver, and that's sad. I think TakeOver's been a pretty solidly booked show.
It has. And I don't think it's sad because even though I get it, it's not the WrestleMania spectacle that, you know, that WrestleMania is. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, we all know what kind of quality matches that we're going to get. The bar is set very high. So, yeah, I have to say that I'm obviously looking forward to so many more matches on TakeOver.
Kevin wishes us a happy Acid Cup week and race as he's on spring break. We appreciate you. And I'm Lucha says, really nervous about Mania turning into a super spreader. 40,000 plus in Texas today was irresponsible. It was.
What event happened in Texas for 40,000?
Texas Rangers game. They sold it out. I mean, at some point, it's got to be at your own discretion. And I'm just very, very happy that a lot of the elderly people that are at risk are eligible for vaccines. Yeah, I'll say that. Ponch, I believe you sent a super chat to follow this up, so I want to thank you for that. Oh, boy. It's just that this, we saw this backstage segment with all these teams, too, and it was so lame. Brandon Charles Powell says, when I watch Raw, I feel like I'm in a dream where I'm running in slow motion and I can't run fast.
What?
I've had those dreams before. Or like when you're trying to scream, but you can't and your voice is out.
No, I have the ones where you're running, but your knees keep like flopping down and you're like trying to run, but they keep going down. Those
I used to have them about losing my teeth a lot.
Oh, I have those every single night. It's
supposed
terrible.
It's supposed to be about losing your innocence. Supposedly.
No, it's supposed to, I heard that it means if you lose your teeth in a dream, it means someone you know is going to die. But I've had like 50 of those or more in the span of several years.
Denise started the pandemic. Anakin says, feel like Asuka's in that spot Apollo Crews holds. Every time it looks like she'll be treated right, we're disappointed. Apollo Crews is locked.
It's two different people, though. I feel like just two different roles.
Yeah, and Apollo's lost 6 IC title matches, and he's getting a 7th. Zach says, Rhea wins on Saturday and loses to Goat Lynch, who returns to reclaim her title that she never lost at SummerSlam. You want to talk about a SummerSlam main event, Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Is a SummerSlam main event. Holy crap.
100%. I would be so excited to see that.
Injection says, what I noticed is AEW hasn't had a 3-way title match yet, making the multi-man title matches mean something. NXT has kind of set things back like that as well. You don't see too many different kinds of gimmick matches there. Ricardo Holt says, creative being all over the place is maddening. Yeah, I use the term frustrating about 800 times a show here. Jamie says, if Rhea loses to Charlotte again, F WWE forever. They lied and said, oh, there's a plan. It'll make sense in the summer. It didn't make sense last summer.
I did believe in that, by the way. I even defended it. I look like a fool now.
Man.
Bobo the clown.
Nerd Guru says, a feud with Charlotte is definitely what they'll do after Rhea wins. But the woke booking is Rhea runs through everyone and faces Becky at SummerSlam. I wish. That's what should happen. Rhea should dominate everybody. Maybe people get some offense in, but she should be a wrecking machine until SummerSlam and face Becky. And you know what? If Becky's back full time, you can put the title back on her. If she's not, Rhea should crush her too.
Now imagine if she had been a wrecking ball since she came into Raw going into this match with Asuka.
We're just through one match right now. My God.
Have we really just discussed one match?
Colt Bedeau says, see NXT had Raquel in a dumb tag match that she beats everyone's ass, put Io through a wall, and both look good. How is Raw booking this bad? They're lazy. Raw booking is lazy. But you
it's
know
just
what's not?
Seeing the same things over and over again.
Yeah. This is a hot topic, this Rhea Asuka stuff. Like, we're getting more super chats about this than anything.
Because we were hyped about it. We had hope.
You had hope. I knew they'd fuck it up.
I did have hope.
Flaming says, I hate to say this, but Asuka loses at Mania. I might just quit watching wrestling altogether. Buddy,
should lose at WrestleMania, though.
Yeah, there's no salvaging this run. They need to start fresh. So I'm not above that. Guys, don't troll in our chat. You will get banned. Like this fella just did. Bam! He gone. Ray says, Rhea holds for a year, faces 2022 winner Raquel. I think there's already too much source material there. I don't know if they'll go right back to that. I think Rhea and Raquel will be on separate brands, and they'll eventually clash again. But let's go ahead and talk about another match, for the love of God, besides that. Or we'll talk about Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon. Yeah, Shane cuts a promo in response to Braun. I thought Braun's promo was probably one of the best he's ever done, but there's not a high bar there, Denise.
I was going to say, given the circumstances, I guess, but I mean, it's just too dorky, though. Like, a big, grown, muscular man that looks like Braun Strowman talking about report cards and whether or not someone thinks you're dumb. Like, I think more realistically, like, let's say Shane would have said, like, okay, you're dumb or whatever. Like, it should be something where he shouldn't even, like, be mad. I don't know. You shouldn't even be mad about it. Like, think about if this were to happen in real life. Like, how would you go about this situation? So for me, it's like the direct opposite. How they're going about this feud is the direct opposite from how it would happen if it was a little bit more realistic.
And they had Braun cut this promo in a cage. I wish they would have just done the Elias Jackson Riker match in a cage, like preview this weekend. Have Braun throw them up against the cage repeatedly, show what he can do to somebody, and then you can have Shane look on and man. I mean, this was, I thought it was a fine match, an okay build for this. It's a sensible build. Like, if this were on any go home show, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Braun beats the crap out of two guys that aren't on WrestleMania. So I was fine. I thought it was fine with the match. I thought it went pretty well. Braun looked great. He beat up two guys.
They didn't extend it for the sake of extending it, which is what I appreciated out of this, but it was really just the promo work that, for me, the back and forth between Shane and Braun, that is just not believable. The reason as to why this match is happening is not believable. So that, for me, is where I'm like, okay, this is a little funky.
And I know what's going to happen. Braun's going to throw Shane off the top of that cage. He's going to go through a table. And then Shane's going to go, I win. You're stupid. And this is going to continue.
I just want to see some cool stuff. Like, if we're going to get some cool stuff from this match, then you know what? I'll take it for what it is, or for what it was building up towards it.
There were a lot of weed jokes with Riddle and New Day. And it's like, it was cute. It's like, okay. Very funny.
It was cute. Yeah, it was cute. No, I wouldn't say that. I'm just laughing at you for saying it was cute.
It was cutesy. Whatever.
Yeah.
AJ Styles did not lose a singles match for months. And then they're like, how about losing three of them to build up to your title match?
Oh, this was not good. This was not good. I think this is the point of Raw where because this was really, what, the first match on Raw? Where I thought, oh, okay, this show is not going to go well, because this was a very weak match and it should not have been. It was a weak match with a terrible finish. And I think that's when I realized that this Raw wasn't going to be the greatest.
I realized this Raw wasn't going to be the greatest when I saw that it was WWE Monday Night Raw and it was existing.
That's terrible.
AJ gets distracted because Kofi throws a mic at Omos. And Omos, like, follows him. I want, like, 10% as many distraction finishes as there are. I'm just so tired of it. AJ Styles is a great competitor. Rhea Ripley, great competitor. When you have them be like, oh, let's go out over here, it makes them look stupid.
I agree with that.
I don't like it. And I don't like using this to build up. I don't like using this to promote something like that. Have AJ beat somebody else. Have somebody backstage talking to New Day, and New Day are out there to show their support, and AJ beats them. I don't need this. This this has been like a weird way of like retconning all that good work. Keep in mind, Denise, AJ was being pushed so hard, or I don't want to say pushed so hard. Somebody just winning consistently shouldn't be considered pushed hard. It should be considered what they do to people that when they're building to something that you and many people thought Triple H, and that's what he wanted. He's like Triple H said that last week on the media call. And now he's lost 3 weeks in a row.
Not even that. When they announced the tag team match, for the most part, they hadn't done anything within the storyline that was completely terrible. So I don't understand why this just kind of came out of nowhere. Because even when they did the whole game show thing, I'm like, yeah, it's quirky or whatever. But for the most part, I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I didn't have a problem with it. But so this to me kind of just felt like it wasn't needed. Like for the most part, I was looking forward to this match, you know, and once we actually talk about the match that I want to talk about, there was only one match today or one storyline that I was not looking forward to actually seeing on WrestleMania. But after the events that occurred today, I am actually looking forward to it. And I'll talk about it once we get there. But there was only one that got me more hyped for WrestleMania.
Anakin JMT says, I feel like WWE booked better when they were taping and were actually forced to plan ahead. Well, buddy, they had a guy by the name of Paul Heyman doing a lot of the booking then. And yeah. Orlando says, Sean, is there any significance to Seth standing in the eye of the skull on the WrestleMania poster? Is it more than his vision gimmick? I don't think so, but I noticed that. And if that was intentional, that was a really cool touch. I really like that. Drew Nicholas says, Braun Strowman was literally bullying Adam Pearce a few months ago, physically shoved him and got suspended, but now he's fighting for those who have been bullied. Does WWE remember their own booking? No, and they really hope that you don't, Drew. That's the problem. WWE insults the intelligence of their viewers with regularity. A thing came up this week about Batista turning on Triple H, and that was one of the best slow builds ever. Batista, this big muscle-bound guy that Triple H thought, nah, he's a fucking dummy. He's not going to pay attention. I won't have to worry about him. He watched and saw how Randy Orton got treated, and for months he would be given the side eye. Triple H would make a snide comment. He'd just look at him a little bit funny, and he'd be like, oh, is it happening? Is it this week? It took them 4 or 5 months to do that, and it was perfect, and he got his big crowning moment at WrestleMania. That was a build. And people can say, oh, well, you know what? That was one of the best builds in recent memory. They can't all be like that. No, they can't. But you know what they can all do? Every story can at least make sense on the surface. That's it. If it makes sense, I'm going to give it a lot of leeway. I'm going to be like, ah, it makes sense. I want to enjoy this.
I just don't think that Braun was necessarily, if they were going to do this feud with any two people, I don't necessarily think that it was going to work with Braun and Shane. Like, heck, maybe they could have even done this with two other guys. I don't know who, but it's not working with them too. Like, it just doesn't come across as believable.
Nerd Guru says, fair to say COVID era hit Braun the worst. No, I don't think that at all. Braun won the Universal title off of the COVID era because Roman Reigns did not want to compete at WrestleMania last year. So Braun did that. I actually think the person who got affected the most, probably Otis. Otis had his big WrestleMania moment with Mandy taken away. He won Money in the Bank. You couldn't hear the crowd. And then they were like, well, God damn, what is there? And he's never been the same.
Do you honestly think, though, that they were actually going to, I mean, I get it, like giving him the Money in the Bank match, but I just kind of feel like they were never planning on taking Otis seriously.
I mean, he was mega over with the Mandy stuff, and it just all went away. All went away. Ricardo says, fans say this is what we want. WWE says, F you. And Ducking Llama says, haven't used Peacock at all. Heard it's not great. So should I subscribe to that or use my VPN and get the network overseas, in your opinion? Well, let me tell you, I'm partial to the network, but you can go to surfshark.deals/Fightful. And use that code Fightful. Surfshark.deals/Fightful. Use that code Fightful for 83% off plus 3 free months. That wasn't even a scheduled ad read. Look at Denise messing with her hair. Quick,
my
quick,
hair.
quick look.
Usually I was like looking, I was like, okay, he's still going. Okay, bam.
Yes. Sorry. Oh man. Ponch 30 says, I need a review every night from you guys this week. It's going to be a long week. Well, I did the preview with Emily today. I did Kenny McIntosh, that show Monday Night Live today. We had the Weekender and the Backstage Report yesterday. Tomorrow, I've got the preview with Steven Larson. Wednesday is the Wednesday Night War and the List and Your Boy. Thursday, NXT TakeOver review. Media calls both days. I've got an interview with Gallows this week. We got the SmackDown review. So, I'm telling you, there are like 15 shows over the next couple weeks.
It's shows rough. Every day.
Yep. Nerd Guru says, say what you want about Rhea and Asuka. It's bad, but imagine what we'd be getting with Lacey and Charlotte. Oh, yeah. I think Lacey and Charlotte would be much worse.
The whole pregnancy stuff would have still been a thing. Oh. Mm-hmm. No, not it'd the pregnancy stuff. The Ric Flair, just because they wouldn't have done the I'm pregnant thing if she wasn't pregnant. So, but they would have still been doing like the what is it called again? The daddies, the sugar daddy. There you go. I couldn't think of it. I was like, what is it called? Sugar daddy stuff.
Bezos says, secretly manifesting Bailey, Becky, and Kyrie segment on Mania somehow. I just feel like that could all check the right boxes we need. I don't think we ain't getting Kyrie. If there's no battle royal, I don't think we're getting Kyrie.
You'd have to do some serious witchcraft for that to happen.
Maybe, like, for some reason, if EO popped up in the tag team turmoil and the Sky Pirates are back, I don't think it's happening, bud. I wish it was. Chuck says, is it sad I'm more excited for Dark Elevation than Raw? No, not at all. Dark Elevation's a good show. Ryan B. Jam says, not only is the men's battle royal on SmackDown instead of Mania, but the women don't even get one this year. Yeah, they're kind of making up for that by throwing them all in that tag team turmoil match. So that's, yeah. Daniel said, congrats, Denise, on the new shows. I was happy to lock down Denise. You're all over the place. You are working all the time, but that's a good problem to have, right?
I actually, well, yeah, it really is. So I actually posted on Twitter, like, my schedule for, like, all of the week. So I have 12 shows in the next 12 days, which I'm very excited about. So, yeah, you can go there and check those out.
Miz and Morrison paint all over Bad Bunny's Bugatti. But the funny thing is, Denise, Bad Bunny has done interviews where he's like, I fucking hate this car. He bought it because somebody wouldn't lend him one.
Rich people problems, man. Yes. Rich people problems.
Honest to God, $3 million car. And he hates it. He's done interviews where he's like, I love this car. The insurance, the taxes, I get recognized every single place I go. He's like, this car has been nothing but problems to me. I wonder if he's like, hey, listen, can we work out some sort of deal here?
It's just sad. Look, okay, so like almost a year ago, I got into that car bender with me and my fiance where our car got like completely wrecked. We've had to share cars for like a year because of like the insurance. And I'm thinking, here's Bad Bunny with a $3 million something car where he can just do whatever he wants with it. And I'm here sharing cars. This is just sad. Okay. And you know what? This makes me even more mad, Sean. So I was going to tell you, I was pissed about this segment because all they did was paint his car. Lame. I'm sorry, but I want to see windows smashed. I want to see something crazy happen. Okay.
You best believe they wiped that finger paint off as soon as that shot was over.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, why put it in there if you're not going to do something crazy? Like, we've seen stuff go down with people's cars. So I'm expecting a little bit more than watercolor Crayola on his car. All right. So I'm sorry. This was not it for me.
Well, if you want to do something crazy when you put it in there, check out BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, BlueChew.com. It's going to be a long, exhausting week. You might have trouble getting a little bit excited for some things. Maybe you're running out of gas, you're running out of steam. BlueChew gets you covered. They give you that hard, strong erection all throughout the week. Right, Denise?
I'm excluded from this. Continue on.
It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Online prescription service, so you don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office. You don't have to have that awkward conversation like I just had with Denise. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They are made in the USA. They prepare and ship direct. It's cheaper than a pharmacy. How cheap? How about free when you use that code FIGHTFUL at checkout? Just pay $5 shipping when you use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem. It's a chewable. Get you that extra confidence to get you through.
I thought you were going to say something else when you said you don't like swallowing pills. I was like,
what did you think I was going to say, Denise?
I don't know. Just something else.
Denise got that FU money now, so she's just saying whatever.
What? Okay, that's it. Continue on. I have
and
no
you can have FU money when you pay $5 shipping and get your first shipment free. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Oh, boy. So Bad Bunny and Damian Priest make the challenge for the tag team match at WrestleMania. This is what I had reported a couple months ago. And I even said this. They had been training for a tag team match. So I'm not surprised to see this, but glad to see it, Denise.
Yeah. You know, for a second, I kind of lost hope there. I thought they really were going to do that singles match. So the fact that they actually announced it being a tag team match, I was like, oh, thank God. And not because I was going to say like, oh, this was going to be horrible, but it was not going to be the best, you know, having to have Bad Bunny in a singles match. Like, I feel like it's too much for him. I don't know what his level of, you know, expertise is, but I'm assuming that it's not the greatest to have a full one-on-one match. So I'm glad that they're doing the tag team match. Like you said, and then also, you know, it just benefits Damian Priest so much more also to be part of this match. You don't want him standing around, you know, the hot new guy on the Raw roster, and you don't want him on the corner just, you know, chilling there. You want to have him in the match. You want to have him get that publicity rub from Bad Bunny being in this match with him. So, and then also, I do think that the fact that they're going to have Bad Bunny, you know, doing limited things, I think whatever he does do, whatever spots he does get into this, I think they're going to do all the stuff that's actually going to come across as impressive and show his strengths. So this is just good all around. So good call to keep this into a tag team match.
Nerd Guru says Bad Bunny cut a better promo than Braun or Shane. Well, that wouldn't take much. I thought it started off really good, but then it went real long. Like, it just went on and on and on.
He seemed a little nervous to me.
I felt like he, I mean, obviously I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know how it came across in Spanish.
He was a lot more comfortable in Spanish. I noticed it a lot more because when he was talking in English, it was like he was saying like the things he needed to say. But in Spanish, he actually delivered it in a way where it actually came across as something because he was basically trying to tell the people like, hey, you know, I was a fan. I grew up a fan. And, you know, I took this opportunity. If you had the same opportunity, you would have taken this too. And it just came it came across a lot better.
Yeah, I didn't think it was coming across bad at first with the English language promo, but then it just went on forever. And Ryan B. Jam says, this felt like such a boring Raw. I fell asleep before the Bad Bunny promo and woke up just to catch the end of the Corbin Drew feud. And Music and Moonsault says Miz and Morrison painting his car would have been much better if Party Man was playing in the background. Tony Khan would have paid for it. I do love that he's paying for this stuff, but yeah. And Luis, I see you say you want me to make a transcript Spanish promo. We're good. Jose says had two Long Island iced teas during this show. It didn't help. And I do these shows 100% sober. My friends, 100% freaking sober. Whew. Trent Gaspard says, was folding clothes during the Braun match. Did we get big choo-choo energy tonight? Did we get the train sound?
We did not get the train sound today. Because I always laugh at that and I didn't laugh today.
Ken Shiro says, turned off Raw after the Can They Coexist match. When you want them to have a clean finish, they do a DQ. When you want them to do a DQ, they pin champions.
Yeah, I still can't believe this. And I mean, we kind of covered it already, but either way, I don't think I actually emphasized just how lame it was to have Asuka get pinned. And even, I just really didn't see it coming. Okay, I really, really did it. And the fact that it still happened, and I'm kind of mad at myself because I should have seen it coming. I really should not be surprised. But I think when it happened, it really kind of just deflated. It deflated me. And I thought, all right, cool. None of these girls are being put over before this match because I don't know. I feel like Nia and Shayna have been booked better than a lot of other people.
Yeah. Guys, we're heading down the home stretch. Get those super chats in. Ryan B. Jam says, should make Denise do an Alex reacting spot to those ads. That happens because there's a three divider thing. And every time I pull up the graphic, Alex ends up on the side of it. All of our graphics are set up to where it covers Denise. So we don't have that issue.
You just covered Denise. I'm awful. You just don't want to see me.
Denise, what did the Bugatti do to you?
Look, I just want to see stuff get destroyed. Is that too much to ask for?
I
can't
too.
Be the only one. I'm sorry, but painting a car is not going to do anything for me, okay?
I agree. Kevin says, as a Fiend fan, I was disappointed nothing on the show. Then I realized in the promo package there were tons of hidden images, alien skulls, and references to the Abigail burning. They're really good at hiding stuff like that. The unfortunate thing, Denise, is when you see so much of this stuff from the Fiend and Bray Wyatt specifically, because he would do this a lot in his promos, I would tune so much of it out. I would just be like, okay. And I hate feeling like that. But that, and I mean, I noticed a lot of little Easter eggs in there as well, but
there's a lot of people that are into the Easter eggs and into breaking them down, and I'm not one of those people, but I do appreciate the stuff that other people do come up with, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. I would have never known that had people not connected the dots for me, but yeah. I think for me, it's just not enough for me to get interested in to actually want to decode these Easter eggs.
Back says, no Firefly Funhouse match? So relieved. I was hoping for one because I watched Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt have matches before, and they were not good. So I was hoping for a Firefly Funhouse match because there's a lot to draw on from that. Kevin Steet says, Randall should send Danhausen sacks of human money to watch his back against the Fiend. I have two interviews in the can with Danhausen. I've got a regular interview with him, and then there's one where he rates action figures from my collection. It is very good stuff. Aaron says, why did I stay up till 4 a.m. for Raw? I don't know, no buddy. Answer. That 229 GBP could have went to a good therapist for you, my friend. Bezo Banks says, so sad that when they decide to do Pirate Mania, there's either no fans or Kyrie's not there. I mean, they were doing it last year when Kyrie was there. So I can't really criticize them for that at all. Nerd Guru says, how they somehow made Asuka, Shayna, and Rhea into the same ring, the lamest thing ever, is a shame. Shayna lost to Natty in 30 seconds, but won here. Yeah, they get really nerfed in 50-50'd. Shayna does, not Nia. Nia's protected. If Nia gets, she might get knocked through a table by Lana or something like that, but Lana is her only kryptonite right now, it seems.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense because, I mean, I just don't get how you don't protect your champion. I don't get how you don't protect your possibly upcoming champion. I don't get it.
Sheila Antonio has sent a couple super chats about Riddle's birds. Now, I must have looked. Oh boy, I just looked it up.
What am I missing here? Oh boy,
they did like animated birds.
What? What do you mean animated birds?
Probably something with flying and being high and all that. They added like new birds to his entrance. And Kevin says, gotta say this, the Riddle bird graphic would do better when some wrestler is actually flipping the bird. And Sheila, I just noticed Riddle's bird.
I didn't notice that. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Someone tagged me in a picture.
He's got a scooter and he's got business ideas. I can't pretend that anything that they do with that guy makes any sense.
I don't know what the birds you guys are talking about. I'll just wait till after the show.
I just looked it up and I saw it. Oh wow. Yeah. Well,
are they cute birds?
No. Riddle zoomed right in between Ollie and Sheamus. I wish they'd book Riddle against some other people, but this was a really good match. Again, the finish was outstanding. Riddle caught Ollie midair and went into a Bro Derek. The right person went over here. I feel bad for Mustafa Ali, but they had a really good match, and the champion won going into WrestleMania. I'm good with that for a United States title build.
I don't feel bad for Ali. I actually think the last 2 weeks have been so much better for him. If he didn't have that match against Drew, the birds are not cute. Okay. So if he didn't have this match against Drew, which was a really good match, heading into this match with Matt Riddle, this match with Matt Riddle would not have meant anything. So I actually thought this match meant more coming off of that match that Ali had with Drew. And I liked the match that he had with Matt Riddle today. I thought it was really good. And when I mentioned earlier that there was one match that I came out of this Raw looking more forward to than I was originally, it's definitely Matt Riddle Sheamus. I didn't care for this match going into it, but after tonight, I really did like, you know, just that simple little stare down, them talking to each other, that did a lot for me, you know, coming off of this, you know, good match for Matt Riddle. And I didn't think this hurt Ali. I actually think that this was perfectly fine, because even though he hasn't been winning, he still has been having competitive matches. And I prefer him having these competitive matches and losing than doing all of that silly nonsense stuff with Retribution, where Retribution loses a match, he's hollering out in the, you know, side of the ring, comes out, throws a tantrum, that's it. No, I prefer this instead. So I actually thought this was a perfect, this was probably one of the best, not the best segment on Raw, but one of.
Denise, I'm going to send you, while I read a couple super chats, I'm sending you the birds.
Oh.
So you can see. It's hilarious. Ryan B. Jam says, Paul Burchill needs to show up backstage in a backstage.
How did I miss this?
Because it's ridiculous.
You know what it is? I don't watch the entrances. Like, that's when I write notes down or I send a tweet or something.
I tune stuff out, too. Yeah.
Wait, but what do the birds have to do with the sandal? Because that's the part where usually the sandal would fly out and you would see the sandals in slow motion. What do the birds have to do with it?
Oh, no, he shoots birds out of his feet now. It's pretty cool.
So the birds live in his toes?
Ryan says, Paul Burchill needs to show up in a backstage segment with Regal on one of the takeover nights. I think that'd be a funny little nod. If they would have had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at that show, I think Paul Burchill should have been in it. That would have been fun. Oh, man. So we get
birds next time. We need some birds, some train sounds. Our Raw post show is starting to lack some Raw theme stuff. We need some birds. We need some slime. We need some train. I don't know. We need to spice it up.
Jamie Miles says, with the exception of Brian, Edge, and Reigns, this might be the worst build to a WrestleMania ever. The matches will be good, but the build sucks. I don't like the Edge Brian Reigns build. Jeremy was saying for weeks Edge is being a little bitch. He was coming out there and bitching every week, and then Daniel Bryan was bitching every week. The only person who wasn't was Roman Reigns. He's like, I'll beat you the fuck up, that's it. And other than that, I'm just like, all right, a couple guys are bitching while one guy keeps winning, okay, we'll see how that goes. But we had two matches and an interview that all tied in together. Drew McIntyre talks about how hard he worked to get on top. Lashley came out and showed him respect, said he was a great champion, but his time is over, and says, everybody back there is afraid of you, Drew, but I'm not. Drew's like, I didn't tap out to the Hurt Lock. I passed out to it. It's a tough move. I love this. I thought this was really good. It was Bobby Lashley saying, you're really good. People are scared of you, but I'm not. And it's Drew saying, your finishing move that looks like shit is actually very good. I thought this was a great way to kick this off tonight. It was simple. It was them acknowledging that they're both good.
My favorite thing was actually Drew's promo, where he started talking about like everything that he had to like go through, like talking about his mom and just everything that he sacrificed. Oh, I love that. I thought that came across really well when he said, you can't be a man who's willing to sacrifice everything. And I know we've heard several variations of stuff like that, but I just really bought everything that Drew McIntyre said. And then in terms of Bobby Lashley, like, dude looks like a million, came out looking like a million bucks tonight. Like, I don't know what it was, but he looked extra rich to me tonight.
Yeah, and we had a very generous super chat from Jose Flores. Thank you, Jose. I appreciate you, man. He says, did Drew's comments about just work harder directed at the locker room seem simplistic? Okay, so I've I don't want to say I've known Drew, but I've interacted with Drew for several years, and he's always in my, since I've known him was TNA. That's when I first interviewed him. And if you guys remember when he was in TNA, he went through a physical change. He went through a career change. He was at a career crossroads, and he accepted a lot of responsibility for his own release. And he has told me in the past, once I got released, I already knew it. He's like, maybe I'll never get back to WWE, but it won't be for lack of working. So for him, when he sees people that are probably not accomplishing what they are, I don't know if he feels as much blame on WWE Creative as there should be. I think that maybe he thinks that hard work can just overcome that. I don't think it can for everybody. I don't think it was veiled, but I think maybe sometimes Drew forgets that his hard work is also a product of a right situation and being given that opportunity that he did work for, mind you. He did work for that opportunity, but he did get that opportunity too. And there's a whole lot of people that work really hard that don't get that opportunity, Denise.
Yeah. And see, like, that's where I, like, that's how I always felt. Like, I was very more of like that Drew McIntyre mentality. So I see where that's coming from. But I think as I've grown older, I've noticed that it's obviously what you just said, the A, the hard work, but also B, the luck and the circumstances and a bunch of different stuff that revolve that. So, but at the same time, I'm not going to necessarily like punish the guy for like for thinking sure. that way, because if that's what keeps him motivated and that's what keeps him going,
yes.
because that obviously, come on, like just look at the growth of like everything that he did. He could have easily just given up on his dream and that's it, left WWE and just gone, you know, fallen off the face of the earth or whatever. He could have, you know, just been in some lackluster, you know, story feud, whatever you want to call it, and just wherever. And no, he literally turned things around for himself. So I yes. do feel like, I don't know, I do feel like I like everything that he said and I like everything that he represents.
It works for him. It works for him. And he's not going to politic to hold people down either. So if he sees people that are working really hard, I'm sure he'll embrace that. Mike JC says Riddle had the birds for 3 weeks. I think it's a let the flops fly reference because Byron says it every time during his entrance. It's very annoying.
Well, just really quickly, speaking of the whole Drew McIntyre thing, he was one of the guys that Andrade put over so much in his interview. Mm-hmm. Like, out of, like, everybody, it was Drew and it was Randy Orton, who he was just saying absolutely good stuff about and basically, you know, just basically saying that they were the guys that were essentially, like, they're not doing anything with you. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And we're actually, you know, supportive. We're trying to keep him down. We're feeling threatened by him. And they saw him instead as somebody that could be a potential good storyline or good feud for even themselves, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I want to credit Carlos Toro, Luis Pulido, and Jeremy Lambert for all the great work they've been doing lately on these Andrade interviews. Big thank you to them. Ryan B. Jam says, Riddle versus Coco, beware in a birds and a pole match. Book it, Vince. If you all want to see why I think Coco Beware deserves to be a Hall of Famer, go look up Coco Beware versus the Patriot. And it's not Del Wilkes, the Patriot, who I've had an interview with in the can for like 6 months. He beat the living shit out of this jobber. Like, he did a shoot brainbuster to this poor guy. It was great. Myron says, Sean, what do you think about those custom-made WrestleMania logos for Pennsylvania? Somebody posted on Twitter. I tried to find out where they came from. They looked really, really awesome. I don't know who did those, but WWE should probably hire them. Like, there were a lot of really good ones, like WrestleMania Canada and WrestleMania, like maybe Phoenix and Columbus even. Like, there were so many cool ones. I love those, Myron.
That someone shared, like, oh, which one would you rather have for next year or something like that?
Yeah, and on the bottom of the photo, they I think they had lifted the logos from somewhere because it said you can download the PNGs at the place below, but there was no place below. Please, somebody send me who did those. I would love to give them credit, but I thought they did incredible. Carlos, thank you so much for the super chat. If you got a question, send it in, my friend. Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin backstage. Now Cedric like stumbled a little bit in his words, but I loved this. He was pushing MVP up against the wall and he's like, listen, man, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You're an old, crippled, washed up has been that's leeching off of Bobby Lashley. And then as soon as they left, MVP's like, He had never been to a 5-star steak restaurant before me. Whew, even when they're broken up, they're the best part of Raw, Denise.
I'm sorry. I didn't like this at all. I didn't buy it. Cedric did not come across as anything threatening to me. He came across as someone that was pretending to be threatening. He was like, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you. He was acting like somebody who was upset. He didn't come across as believable to me. I thought this was very weak. I thought, if anything, Shelton not saying anything was more impressive with just the look. This fell flat to me. Pass. Sorry, Sean.
Credit to Blessing Manila on Reddit for making those logos. I am so disappointed.
What for? I'm allowed to have my own opinion.
In you.
So I will take that. I'd rather have my own opinion. It was lame. I've seen more people be mad.
We went through like 20 minutes and two commercial breaks between these matches. Like between the end of Ripley and that stuff. I just got somebody saying, Sean, Coco Beware is a Hall of Famer, class of 09. I know he is. That's why I said that. But there's about 20 minutes between matches. It felt like forever because they went to a commercial break after the Ripley thing. And then they did Lashley's entrance. Then they did a video package. Then they did another commercial. And I was just like, okay. But the match I thought was good. Cedric looked really good. He got some offense in. But then when Lashley took over, he took over and he dominated. He hit all his signature moves and he crushed Cedric. I loved this. Then he crushed Bobby Lashley. I don't want the Hurt Business to be broken up, but if they're going to be in the Andre and Bobby Lashley's headlining WrestleMania, make Bobby Lashley look as strong as possible. And they did that here.
He was the only person that they did right by. Honestly, he came up. He was tossing Cedric all around the place, manhandling him. He looked aggressive. He looked scary. Hey, if I'm going to go in and face this guy at WrestleMania and I'm seeing that he's manhandling this guy, you know, hey, I'm going to start thinking twice about this. So it actually did its job. It served its purpose. And that's really why I just really feel that they should do that with more people. Keep them strong. So I am glad that they have kept Bobby Lashley strong throughout the past several months now.
Ken says, Denise, Cedric seemed like he was acting because it's all a ruse to get around a stipulation at WrestleMania. I haven't been on the internet lately. That is not how it's going to work. It's not, oh, well, now they can interfere because they're not members of the Hurt Business. The stipulation was, if Cedric and Shelton lose the match, they can't be ringside. Like, they, it's not, oh, well, they're members of the Hurt Business or not. And if so, that ruse goes awfully deep to beat the living shit out of them. Like, that's not what this is. It's not a ruse. It's
ruse or no ruse. It was not believable.
Yeah, the ruse, I mean, if it's a ruse, MVP and Bobby Lashley were awful pissed off in Vince McMahon's office.
Okay, then if it's a ruse, then he should have done a better job at being pissed off so that I can fall for it.
Drew McIntyre defeated King Corbin. I just want to say this was, I thought, a fantastic match that I didn't give a shit about, Denise. Because Baron Corbin ain't beating Drew McIntyre. No way, no how. I would have rather them brought somebody up from NXT. I knew he was going to lose from the moment I saw him hit the ring last week. They beat the crap out of each other. They slammed each other. Side slam, superplex, deep six, Alabama slam, all that stuff. They beat the crap out of each other. I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was a very pay-per-view style match for these two. I just didn't care, Denise.
Well, get ready to be disappointed again, Sean, because I thought this match was terribly boring. I was bored the entire time. I was not looking forward to it. And I was pissed. Why the hell isn't Drew McIntyre just, why is he going toe-to-toe with King Corbin?
You're right.
Like King Corbin is some, you know, I don't mean to bury Corbin, but he hasn't been presented as somebody that is going to be having these amazing matches, as somebody that has been, you know, kept strong all of this. Like, oh my God, he's a real challenge. No, Drew McIntyre should have won this match easily. So I'm sorry. No interest. I didn't think it was good. And it, I don't like it. Made Drew look weak. I think if I'm looking at this match, I'm looking at Bobby Lashley's performance tonight. And I'm looking at Drew McIntyre's performance tonight. And I'm thinking, ooh, Drew has no chance. Literally just based on what we saw tonight. So that's right. Not necessarily what we should be seeing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought the body of the match was good. For you, to your point, didn't think it made sense. Didn't make any sense. Corbin's in the Battle Royal. McIntyre should have mowed him down.
Thank you.
Like, maybe Corbin gets a little bit of offense at the start. Like, he does his deep six because some goofy stuff happens. And then Drew beats the crap out of him all across the place. You see Drew McIntyre seething. I thought the match, I know some people are conditioned to think that every Corbin match is boring. I'm not that guy. Jose says, I miss the WWE pull apart. This story needed it for the go home. They've done it really well with Io and Raquel on NXT.
They did. They did a lot for them in one night. Then they did like the last several weeks, okay, it's been fine since she challenged her. It hasn't even been that many weeks, really. But they did a lot for them in one night than they have for, like, so many other feuds.
Ryan B. Jam says, bring back AOP to be the new tag team in the Hurt Biz. That'd be pretty good, honestly. I wouldn't hate that.
I miss the AOP.
I miss them, too. I don't know what they're doing. I've tried to contact them for interviews and stuff. No dice. Nerguru says, I hate the babyface finisher off the ropes for the win. Yeah, I guess. Sure. I mean, I see what you mean. And Markin Mad City says, this recap show is 100 times better than the show. You two are great together. What is next for Asuka after losing the belt? Probably a tag team, Denise.
God, I don't know. I just want to see the Raw Women's Championship be taken seriously. I want to feel like that division means something, you know? That's all I want. It's all I ask for. Is it too much to ask for? I don't think so.
We're wrapping up, fellas. If you want to get your super chat in, this is the time to do it. Like Brandon Campbell, who says, anytime I see King Corbin, it's a win-win.
Oh, this guy's a troll. You're trolling, Brandon.
Oh, Brandon spent $5 on that.
I can respect that.
I always give him some credit. I love how much he protects his finish. I love that. And I love his move set, like his innovative move set. He's got like a really cool ripcord slam. The deep six is really good. He's got like, he adds like a new move like one time a year. And it's always a really good looking move. Ah, here we are. WrestleMania is this weekend, guys. Again, we have TakeOver post shows. We have WrestleMania post shows. We have interviews this week. I interviewed Brian Myers, so make sure you guys check that out. Jose Flores says, I missed the Corbin theme before the remix. And Anakin says, for Evan, best heel in the business, Baron Corbin. And then Rosalina says, I hope Drew doesn't do the one kick out thing during this WrestleMania match like he did last time. He went against Bobby post last year's Mania. Well, I think Bobby's in a much different position now than he was then. So I don't think that we'll probably get that, Denise.
Yeah, no, you know what? After tonight, like, I'm starting to think I kind of want to see Bobby Lashley retain. That's all I'm thinking right now.
Me too.
And I was thinking that 2 weeks ago.
What I think is that a lot of these results, they should have two finishes planned. And then once they hit the ring and they hear that crowd reaction, send the result into the ref's ear and you say, this is the finish you're doing.
It's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to see what's going to actually happen, though. Like, with the crowd, from the crowd perspective, how they're going to react. Because if I'm going to WrestleMania, let's just say I was going, I don't think I'd know, like, am I supposed to, like, you know, cheer, boo? Like, what's going on? Like, I want to know, like, what everybody else is doing so I can kind of gauge that. I don't think I would necessarily know 100% if I was going.
Guys, I know this has been a longer Raw review, but Denise, you got 732 jobs. Please tell the people where they can find you.
Okay, seriously. So, Sean, get that
Here's what you do. You punch your keyboard and it will go to a website that Denise works for, guaranteed.
Yes, but get that must be nice email because I have an awesome interview scheduled for later this week that's going to go up on my channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, okay?
I hit WWE up every week and ask for interviews every week. AEW too, they all mad at me.
Okay, well, I don't know what, okay, so like, they reached out to me, Sean. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, so I have an awesome interview scheduled this week with a WWE talent. And in the meantime, you can also watch my interview with Karrion Kross because that definitely applies to NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. I'll be promoting that too. Then the WWE one that I will announce later on, which one it is, that's happening. YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I have a million shows happening. Go to my Twitter page. @_Denise Salcedo. I literally posted a chart with like everything and I'll post the links each and every single day for you guys to check out the shows. It would really mean a lot to me if you guys came over and checked them out. Sorry, Sean. What?
Denise says does she work for WrestleMyBritishGranny.com? She does.
I do actually. Yeah. I should put that in my resume, man. I should put that on my LinkedIn page.
I also bought the domain name ringsidenews.com as an April Fool's joke 1 year and told people I was moving there. Nick says Drew's promo tonight guaranteed him the win, in my opinion.
Yeah, see, must be nice. It is nice. It really is nice. I was starting to worry that I wasn't going to get an interview this week. And then I was just kind of like feeling sorry for myself. And then it happened and I was like, woohoo.
Guys, you know where you can find me, right here, WrestleMyBritishGranny.com, Fightful.com. Check out that Fightful magazine. You can order the first digital edition, FightfulMag.com. They will be physical moving forward. We'll have a digital option as well. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.